Today's daf is Shvuas daf Memhei. We are at the Mishnah on daf Mem Dalet Amid Beis, a new perek, the seventh perek of Maseches Shvuas, perek Kol Hanishboin. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasunu Batzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Rufu Shalema for Shloima Ben Chayaleya, Chava Miriam Basmalka Freida, and Sara Bat Batya. So, moving along here in the final stretch of Maseches Shvuas, Perek Kol Hanishboin is going to pick up where Perek Shvuas Hadayonim left off. It is going to discuss more Shvuas, specifically Shvuas that were administered by the Dayan. Zok the Heilige Mishnah. Kol Hanishbon Shabbatayra. All Shvuos that are mentioned in the Torah, Nishbon Veloy Mishal. The one that swears, and as a result becomes potter from having to pay. In other words, all Shvuos in the Torah, it's the Nitva, the one that someone's trying to get money from, that swears. And as a result of his shvua, he's now going to be potter from paying. He's a nishba, and as a result, he's a lei mishalim. Now, what are all these nishban shabataira? So, it's not as many as it sounds like it is. It's three. Moed ben miktsas, shvuas eidechad, and shvuas hashoimen. In all three of those cases, it's the nitva that's swearing. Reuven goes over to Shimon, you owe me $100. Shimon says, no, I don't. I only owe you $50. Reuven's trying to get $100 from Shimon. If Shimon's moed ben miktsas, he's chayiv shvua. But as a result of his shvua, he's not going to have to pay. What Shvua said Echad? Reuven goes over to Shimon, he tells him, you owe me $100. Shimon says, no, I don't. Reuven presents an Eid Echad that says that he really does. So again, Reuven's trying to get money from Shimon. Shimon swears Shvuas Eid Echad, and as a result, he's going to be potter from paying. Shvuas HaShoymer is the same thing. There's a Shoymer that right now is on the hook for the fact that the thing that he was entrusted to watch is no longer here. The Mafkid is trying to get reimbursement from the Shomer. If the Shomer swears, he's not going to have to make payment. So the three people that swear in the Torah are Nishba in Veloy Misham. And stating that, says the Mishnah, Chazal, in their world of Shvuos, were Mesakin people that swear, and the purpose of their Shvuah is not to be a Loy Meshalim, but rather it's to be a Nishba V'Noitel. In other words, Ve'elu Nishba V'Noitel. The following are a list of people that are Nishba V'Noitel. Number one, Hasachir, that's an employee. Va'Nigzal, someone that had something stolen from him. Va'Nechbal, somebody that was beaten up. V'Shekinegdei Chashad Al HaShvuah, or someone that's involved in a Din Torah, the other party is someone that's Chashad. V'Chenveni Al Pinkasai, Chenveni is a storekeeper. His Pinkus is his ledger. There's some case within the world of Chenveni Al Pinkasai where there's going to be a Nishba V'Noitel. So what's the heading of the Mishnah? Kol HaNishban Shebetayr Nishban V'Loy Mishalman. Stating that, on a Rabbanon level, you find the concept of Nishba V'Noitel. Now, to be clear, even under the Rabbanon level, there's an idea of being a Nishba V'Loy Mishalman. Right? What's a perfect example of that? Shvuas Heses. The Rabbanu were Mesakin that even a Kofra Kol has to swear. He has to swear Shvuas Heses. When he swears Shvuas Heses, he becomes Potter Milashale. So the Mishnah does not mean to say that Midday Raisa, you're always a Nishba V'Loy Mishalim, but Midday Rabbanon, you're always a Nishba V'Noitel. What the Mishnah is saying is that even though the Da'iraisa de Geshvua is a case of Nishba V'Loy Mishalim, and you would have thought this is the Oimeka Ion, that the Rabbanon, when they were Mesakin Shvuos, would have been Mesakin at Kein Dairaisa, so that every example of a Shvuah the Rabbanon would also be an example of a Nishba V'Loy Mishalim. That's not the case. It's true in some cases, but it's not true in other cases. In fact, five examples where somebody will swear a Shvuah the Rabbanon, which will be not Kein Dairaisa, he's going to be a Nishba V'Noitel. And again, what are those cases? Hasacher V'Hanigzal. And the Mishnah now is going to explain what all five of these cases are. The Gemara, by the way, is then going to really explain what all five of these cases are. But the Mishnah itself gives us already a little bit of a beer. Hasachar Ketzad, what's an example of an employee that's going to swear and he's going to be a Nishba V'Noitel, a Maloi, if somebody goes over to his boss and he says, Tein li schari sheyesh li biyadcha. I worked for you, you owe me money, pay me. Who, Omer? The boss says, Nasati, I already paid you. V'hala, Omer. But the Sacher says, Loi notalti. It's not true. Harehu nishba v'noitel. So, Chazal and Masakin, that this employee can swear, and as a result of his shvua, the Balabayas will have to pay him. Rabbi Huda, Omer, Rabbi Huda says, Acha tehisham mikta saidot. The only time we say that there's a takonas Chazal that the Sacher is nishba v'noitel is if really there was some level of moide b'miktas. Keitzad, amalei tein lischari, in the event that the Sacher went over to the Balabais and he told him, pay me. And the amount that you owe me is Chamishim Dinar. You owe me 50 dinar, sheyesh li biyadcha. I mean, the person says, his kabalta dinar zav, I already paid you a dinar zav. Now the 50 dinar that the Sacher is claiming is owed to him is 50 dinre kesef. When the Balabayas responds and says that I already paid you a dinar, he's saying I paid you a dinar zav. Just so happens that a dinar zav is exactly half the value of 50 dinar kesef, because one dinar zav is equal to 25 dinar kesef. The point is, in this case, the Balabayas was moide b'miktsas, and because the Balabayas was moide b'miktsas, so it's for that reason that the halacha is that the Sacher in this case is now going to be a nishba v'naitel. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only time there's a halacha that a Sacher is nishba v'naitel is when there's some element of moide b'miktsas here. But if there was no element of moide b'miktsas, then you don't have this halacha of the Sacher being nishba v'naitel. Now, I know it's only the Mishnah, but I think it's kedai to just understand this a little bit better. And that is, so Hasacher Ketzad means what? Somebody goes over to his boss, he tells him, I worked for you, you owe me money. The person says, not true, I already paid you. The halacha is that if the Sacher wants, he could swear that he was never paid. And if he swears that he was never paid, the Balabayas is now going to have to pay him. Rabbi Yehuda says the only time this is true is if the Balabayas was moide b'miktsas. Then the halach is that the Sacher is going to be nishba v'naitel. If the Balabayas, however, was kofra koil, then there's going to be no halacha that the Sacher could be nishba v'naitel. But let's take it from the standpoint of the Tanakhama. The Sacher goes over to the Balabayas, he tells him, you owe me money. The Balabayas says, no, I don't, I already paid you. What's the halacha? The halacha is that the Sacher is nishba v'naitel. Now, without this chiddush, what would you have thought that the halacha should be? You would say that this is a classic example of a kofer hakoyel, right? The Sacher is the teveya. He's going over to his Balabayas, and he's telling him, you owe me money. The Balabayas is responding and he's saying, no, I don't. He's saying, I don't know you anything. So really, the Balabayas is a kofer hakoyel. What's the halacha when a Balabayas is kofer hakoyel? Or what's the halacha when any nitva is kofer hakoyel? So the halacha is that the nitva has to swear a shvuas hasis, right? But the truth is, that's only true on the Amoraim level. Rav Nachman was Mesak in Shvuas Hesis. In the Mishnah, there was never an idea of Shvuas Hesis, which means that really, Medina the Mishnah, nobody should have to swear. In fact, Medina the Mishnah, the Baal Bayis, should not own the Sacher anything, because he was Kofer HaKoyel, and the Aloch of Kofer HaKoyel is that the Nitva is always going to be Potter. If that's the case, what our Mishnah essentially is saying is two chedushim. Number one, the Mishnah is saying that even though really the nitva should be potter, over here there's going to be a chiyuv shvua, and not only is there going to be a chiyuv shvua, but the shvua is not going to be rami on the nitva, it's going to be rami on the teveya. It's going to be the teveya that's going to swear, in this case the Sacher, he'll be nishma v'noitel, and he's going to end up getting whatever he's claiming he's supposed to get. So again, really, based on all the Mishnayos that we've been learning, this is a Mishnah, the halacha should be that the Baal Bayis is off the hook. Kamash Malana Shvua, not only Kamash Malana Shvua, but the Shvua is going to be made by the Sacher. Now, the case of Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says this halacha is true, is where the Baal Bayis was Moide B'Miktsas. Where the Baal Bayis was Moide B'Miktsas, there, Mida Iraisa, the Baal Bayis was Chayev Shvua, right? There, mit der Eraisa, the Baal Bayis was Chayav Shvua. Here, the Chiddush of the Takana is a little bit different. Here, the Chiddush is that instead of the Baal Bayis swearing Shvua, Smaidim and Nixas, what we're going to do is we're going to tell the Socher, the Toiveya, to swear. This is a very big Chiddush, and we're going to tell the Socher to, through his Shvua, be a Nishba V'naitel. So, really, depending on what it is that the Baal Bayis is saying, that is the way you need to speak out what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is. If the Baal Bayis is saying, Lo Yehayu Dvar Me'olam, like the Pashat the case, like the case of the Tanakamo, then Me'ikar Adin, the Baal Bayis should be completely off the hook. Kamash V'lam, the Mishnah, you think you're off the hook, guess what? Joke's on you. The Socher could be Nishba V'naitel. If the case is where the Baal Bayis was made of a Mixas, so then he anyways owed a Mixas, he's Chayiv Shvua Deiraisa on the other half. So what then is the Chiddush of the fact that the Socher is Nishba V'naitel? Instead of the Baal Bayis swearing, we now take the Shvua and we impose it upon the Socher, and by the Socher being Nishba V'naitel, he ends up getting what it is that he's claiming he's supposed to get. Either way, Nigzal case, what's the case of the Nigzal? Where would a Nigzal swear and be Noitel? If two Edim said that they saw this person go into his Loiva's Rishos, Shaloi Rishos, not with permission, and the reason he went was because he wanted to get some sort of mashkin. So the case of the Nigzal starts off a little bit faplunter. It starts off with there's a malva and a loiva, and the malva was seen breaking into his loiva's house, and the reason he's doing it because he's trying to walk off with some mashkin. Hu oimer, and the person says, meaning the loiva, kelai not alto, you took my kelim, you're a gazlin, you had no rishus to take my kelim. Hu oimer, the person says, lei not alto, it's not true. Hu nishba v'noito, so that Lach is this Nigzal, who's also a loiva. If he wants to get his thing back, he can be Nishba V'naitel, he'll be able to get it. Rabbi Yehuda, says, it's the same Rabbi Yehuda. The only time we say this halacha of Nishba V'naitel is if really there was some element of Shvur Deiraisa in the scenario. Okay, so what would be the case? Amaloi, in the event that he told him, Shnei Kelim Natalto, you took two of my Kelim, Fu Aimer, and the Gazlan was made by Mixas. He said, Loi Natalti El Echad, I only took one. So Mi'ikr Adin, let's chazad this over, really the Gazlan should be Chayev Shvur Deiraisa. Instead of the Gazlan being Chayev Shvur Deiraisa, here Chazal said, let the Nigzal instead make the Shvur, and he'll be a Nishba V'naitel. Nechbal Keitzad. What's the case of a Nechbal? Somebody that was wounded. Where is he a Nishba V'naitel? Two Aiden said that I saw this person walk into his house. He was looking great, having a good day, and then he spent couple of minutes there and he walked out all banged up and bruised and limping. Something happened over there, right? And now this Nechbal went over to the person whose house he was in and he told him, Chavaltabi, you know, you beat me up. He says, Loi Chavalti, it's not true. This Nechbal can swear, and by him swearing, saying that XYZ happened, he's going to be able to take whatever it is he claims he's supposed to give. Rabbi Yehuda said, Achetecham, Mikza Seidah, again, it's Rabbi Yehuda Tzimdritimol, that the only time the halach is that the Nechba would be Nishba V'naitel is if there was some element of Maidim and Mikza. Okay, so what would be the case? I'm if he told him, Chavalta Bishtayim, he told him, you beat me up twice. Valuyam, the person said, Chavalti Bechael Achas, only once. In other words, he was a Maidim and Mikza. So in that case, with the Chavel is Chayesh, Shua Deiraisa, Maidim and Mikza, instead of him swearing his Shvuas Maidim and Mixas and being a Nishba V'lay Meshalim, when Mahapich the Shvua onto the Nechba, we tell him be a Nishba V'naitel, and by you being a Nishba V'naitel, you'll be able to get whatever it is that you want to get. The fourth case, Shekinegdoi Chashad Al Ashvua. Case, what's that case? Says the Mishnah, Achash Shvuas Eidos, whether or not one of the parties was a chashud, but he was chashud because he once violated Shvuas HaPikad, or he was a chashud because he once was found guilty of Shvuas HaPikad, or even if it was only Shvuas HaPikad, what's even Shvuas HaPikad? Right, Shvuas HaEidah, Shvuas HaPikad, and even if it was only Shvuas HaPikad, what Shvuas HaPikad is so kal, right? I mean, it's pretty chomer from the Gemaras that we learned. So Rashi says, Afilu Shvuas HaPikad, Shuhura La Shamayim, Veloy Labriyos. Shvuas HaEidah and Shvuas HaPikad is a Ben Adam L'Chaveira. It's also a ben adam l'makom, but it's a ben adam l'chaver. If somebody swears shvuah shav, all it is ben adam l'makom. But that's enough to make this person right now a chashad al shvuah. Or if haya echam yehem asachet bekuvio, or if one of the parties was a gambler, umalva beribis, or used to lend money beribis, umafricha yoinim, or again he used to bet on some sort of sport, v'soichari shvias, or he did gesheft on shvias. So the loch in all these cases is shekinegdoi nishba v'noytol. It's the other party that's going to swear. So what's the case of shekinegdoi? The case is where somebody's chayiv shvuah. So he's chayiv shvuah s'mayid b'miksas. He's chayiv shvuah s'edechot. He's chayiv shvuah s'ashoimer. Or maybe even if he's chayiv shvuah is the rabbanan. The problem is he's a chashud al hashvuah. Why is he a chashud? So the Mishnah just gave a whole smorgasbord of reasons. Because he was once found guilty of shvuah s'edos, shvuah s'apekodin, even shvuah shav, mesachet bekuvim, alav ribbis, mafrichayim, mesachet rishvias. The bottom line is all these cases, this person's a chashad al hashvuah. We can't trust his shvuah. As a result, he can't swear. So what do? So we say, let the other person swear. So again, the person that was supposed to swear was going to be a nishba v'loy mishalim. He's a chashud. So now the shekinegdoi swears. If the shekinegdoi swears, he's going to be a nishba v'noytel. Right? If the person that was supposed to swear, that can't swear, was going to be a nishba v'loy mishalim, then by definition, the other party is a nishba v'noytel. Oh, that's your fourth example of nishba v'noytel. The Mishnah says, just parenthetically, and what would be if both parties are chashud? So, side the teveya, side the nitva are both chashudim. Then chazra shulam and kaima divir Rabbi Yosi. So then we return it back to its original sender. Meaning, who is the person that was supposed to swear? He's the one that's going to swear. Rameir says yachloiku. All of this, by the way, will be explained in these last gemaras here in the Masechta. V'achen v'ni alpin kasei keitzad zogt the Mishnah Vayter. What's the example of chen v'ni alpin kasei? In this case of chen v'ni alpin kasei, every yeshiva Shiva Bacher in history learned this on Bava Metzia, Daf Beis Amid Beis, right? So this is something that's featured prominently on Daf Beis Amid Beis. By the way, it doesn't mean it's easy, but it is something that finds itself very, very prominently in a piece of prime real estate and arguably the most yeshiva daf of all time. Regardless, what is the case? Ketzad, Loisha Yoimer, so before the Mishnah tells us what the case is, it tells us what the case is not. The case is not where the person claims, Kosev al pin kosi sh'ato chayev li mazayim zos. Where the chenveni goes over to one of his clients and he tells him, you know, I see on my pinkus that it says that you owe me $200. That's not the case of the Mishnah. What would be the halach in that case? Not for now. It's not the case of our Mishnah. Okay, so what is the case of our Mishnah? Elo, the case in the Mishnah is as follows. If somebody went over to a chenveni and he told him, will you do me a favor? My sons, they need chiten. Will you please give them sasayin chiten? Meaning I'll pay you, but give them sasayin chiten. Or if he said, he needed some small prutois to be able to pay his payalim. The chenveni, right, he has his cash register, so he always has change. So he asked him, can you do me a favor? Can you give a seller's worth of mice to my poilim, I have to pay them, and you know, I'm going to pay you back. Who nosati? Now, the chenveni came over to the Baal Bais in both of these cases. He says, you know, I did exactly what you wanted me to do. I gave sosayin chitin to your sons. I gave a seller's worth of mice to your poilim. But then the sons and the poilim claim, I don't know what you're talking about. We never got anything. So there's a he said. Again, what happened? There's three parties over here. There's the chenveni, there's the who, there's the guy who's going over to the chenveni, and then there's the sons or the payalim. So a man goes over to the chenveni and says, do me a favor, give my sons chiten, or give my payalim money. The chenveni claims he did what he was supposed to do. They claim they never got it. So what's the halacha? Says the Mishnah. Who nishba v'noitel? The chenveni is nishba v'noitel. The hey nishba v'noitelin. And then the poyalim, or whoever it is that his own, is also going to be nishba v'naitel. Meaning, everyone's nishba v'naitel, everybody gets what they're supposed to get, which means, by the way, if they both end up being nishba v'naitel, this who guy is going to end up being double-dipped on, and he's going to end up paying twice. Amar bananas, banana said, Kate said, how could you paskin like this? Elu ve'elu boni de shvua shav. Right, what's going to end up happening over here? What's going to end up happening is, someone here is going to end up swearing falsely, right? And Beis Din does not have a right to set up a situation where they're making it a little too tempting for somebody to end up swearing b'shav because somebody's not telling the truth. So what do we do? Elohu noita shleib b'shvur. The hey noita shleib b'shvur. Banana said, what ends up happening is they end up each getting shleib b'shvur. Again, the case of chen v'nei al pinkasa is something that the Gemara is very much going to discuss. But the Mishnah first mentions additional cases of chen v'nei al pinkasa. Amar chen v'nei tein lebedina peiros. If somebody goes over to chen v'nei and he says, give me a dinar's worth of peiros. V'nasa loy, and he gave it to him. Amar loy, then the chen v'nei went over to them. Person who he gave the peiros to, and he said, "Tein li yosei dinar," meaning, "Give me the dinar now." The man went over to the chen v'nei and he said, "Give me a dinar's worth of peiros." He gave it to him. Now the chen v'nei wants the dinar, right? He gave a dinar's worth of peiros. It's the vilach the dinar. I'm a lie. He told him, "Nesatev lecha." He says, "I paid you already the dinar." Unesatev unkeli. I put it into your. Rashi says an unkeli is a tikka asi lamois. I put it in your money bag. I put it right into the cash register. So what do you do? It's like a he said, right? So it says the Mishnah Yeshava balabayis shenosan leis a dinar. The balabayis swears that he gave him the dinar and he gets to keep the pairs. Amalei, if you would tell him Tein liyas ha-peiros, what would be if the Balabayas gave the chen v'nei the money and now he says, give me the pairs? It happened in the reverse. He said, I want the pairs. Amalei, and the chen v'nei said, Nesatem lecha, I already gave you the pairs. V'ilachtem l'toich beischa, right, I put them in your house. And he's saying, it's not true, I never got it. Yishav the chen v'nei swears and he's allowed to keep the money. Rabbi Yehuda Haimer, Rabbi Yehuda said, now Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda's commenting on the first case. What was the first case? Where a man told the chen v'nei, give me a dinar's worth of pairs. He gave it to him. Now the chen v'nei said, where's the money? He said, I already gave you the money. So what's the halacha? The halacha is Yishav HaBalabayis that he gave the money and he ends up keeping the peiros. Rabbi Yehuda said in that case, he doesn't have to swear. Kol Sha Peiros B'yotei, if the chen v'nei already gave the peiros to the buyer, Yodai Alel Yoina, we assume that he's telling the truth when he says that he gave the money and he doesn't have to swear. And the reason is, says Rashi, She'in derech chen v'nei ha-moicha sh'loi ba-hakof alitin es-ha-peiros ach-kabal es-ha-dinar. Because this chen v'nei, we have to make an akimto, was a chen v'nei that did not sell on credit. And being that he didn't sell on credit, really, what the chen v'nei is suggesting is that even though I don't usually sell on credit, I gave you the peiros now without you having paid me first. So this buyer has a right to tell the chen v'nei, let's be honest, that's not your store policy. This is not the way you do it. And you don't like me that much that you would have made this big exception to the rule. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Yodai Alel Yoinah. So whereas the Chachamim say, you have to swear and then you can be a Nishma V'naita. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you actually wouldn't have to swear. A similar case, Amud Shulchan, if somebody went over to a money changer, so it's going to be the same exact case, but instead of someone going over to a chen v'nei, a storekeeper, he's going over to a money changer. Tein l'bedina mois, can you please give me dinar's worth of money? V'nasamai, and he gave it to him. Amaloi, so then the money changer told this buyer, he said, Tein liyas ha-dinar. I gave you the change, now you owe me the dinar. But he says, Nasatav, I gave it to you. V'nasati bumpli, I put it, you know, you have that big stack of cash, I put it right there. So what's the halacha? Because the guy's claiming I never got it. Yishava balabayas, he swears. So essentially, let's say he would have given him the dinar first. And then he told him, Tein liyas ha-mois, give me the money, meaning I'm giving you a dinar's worth of. He told him, Nasatav, I already gave it to you. Fish, shlachtul, utech, kisku, you even put it into your kiss. Yishava shulchani, in that case, the shulchani is going to swear. Yehuda says, again, this is the same Rabbi Yehuda who's commenting on the first case, on the ratio. He said, Ein derech shulchan elite in Yisra achi yitol dinar. The shulchani's argument is the shvacha argument, meaning it's the person that's claiming to the shulchani that's yada elo yoinu, because it's not the derech, it's not the custom of a shulchani to give money before he gets something in return. And if he gave already the money, the smaller money, and now he's claiming, oh, I never got the bigger, I never got the dinar from you. And the other guy's saying, I gave you the dinar. He doesn't even have to swear. It's yodei alel yoina, because the derech is that money changers first give or first receive, and it's only afterwards that they give. Talk to Mishnah Vayta. Kishem sha'amru. Ha-pegemes ksubasa lo iti pare alav ha-shvur. Just like Chazal said, that a pegemes ksubasa could only get paid for the balance of her ksuba with a shvur. So what's the halacha of a pegemes ksubasa? The case is where a woman has a ksuba, and she goes over to her husband and says, you owe me the ksuba. So husband gave her a get, and now she's claiming that she wants payment on her ksuba. Husband says, I paid it already. And she says, it's true you paid half, She's moide b'miktsas, but the other half is owed. So the halach is, at this point, if she wants to get paid for the other half, she needs to swear. Now, why is it a chedesh? Because she's holding a ksuba. She's holding the ksuba, so it gives merit to the fact that she's really owed the ksuba. But once she's moide, that this ksuba is not a perfect ksuba, because she's already moide, she was partially paid, so it's for that reason. Now, if she wants to get paid the rest, she's going to have to swear. So Chazal said, apigemes ksubas leitipar el b'shvu. Another halach Chazal said was, regarding ksuba, in the event that there's an Eid Echad that claims that this ksuba was paid, again, a woman's trying to get payment for her ksuba, and Eid Echad says it was paid already, she needs to swear in order to get paid. Another halach Chazal said was that a woman that's trying to collect her ksuba from the chasam ishubadim, or minichse yisayimim, or she's trying to collect it from yisayimim, so her husband died, and now she's trying to take it from the yisayimim, lo ikni parela b'shvua. The only reason she can get, the only way she can get is with a shvua. Or vahanifrash shalei b'fadav. Or a woman that's trying to make collection on her ksuba, and the man is not away, he's a medina sayyam, lo ikni parela b'shvua. Can't be paid only with a shvua. So again, what just happened here? Five times where if a woman's trying to get payment on a ksuba, she would have to swear. Or pegemet ksuba, so where she's made the mixas, she's made the part if it was paid. Or there's an erecha that's being made that it was paid. Or she's trying to collect from the chasim eshubadim, or from the chas nichse yisayimim, or she's trying to get paid. It's not from the shubadim, it's not from the yisayimim, it's from the husband's estate, but he happens to be away. In all five of those cases, the halach is like tipare ala b'shvo. Now, the Mishnah said this with a nigin, right? How did it start this part of the Mishnah? Shem Shamru, just like Chazal said all five of these times. If the woman is trying to get payment on her ksuba, the halacha is, like the parah al-Bashvua, the chain, or some have the girsa kain, or Rashi has the girsa kach, right? Kishem, we're comparing and contrasting with the kach. Kach, so too, a yisoyimim lo yuparah al-Bashvua. So too, yisoyimim only get paid b'shvua. Rashi gives us a little bit of precursor to what's coming in the Gemara. The Gemara, Rashi says, is going to be making it when Yisayimim are trying to collect from Yisayimim. So the Malva and the Leva both died. This is already a Darba now. A whole new generation. And the Yarshim of the Malva are trying to now collect from the Yarshim of the Leva. So the halach is Lo Yipara Ela B'Shvua. So what was this whole Shtikal Taira? Right, it was a long-winded way of making this point. What was the Shtikal Taira? Shem Shamru. Just like Chazal said, those five times when a woman's trying to collect payment for her ksuba. Lo Yipara Ela B'Shvua. So too kach. HaYisayimim, if the Yisayimim of the Malva trying to get payment on a loan, Lo Yipara Ela B'Shvua. What is the Shvua? Shvua Shalei Pakadnu Abba. We swear that our father never told us anything about this loan being paid. Right? Never told us anything. And we never found any document amongst the shtaris that this shtar was paid. So you would have to swear these shvuos, and only then would he be able to get payment. Right? What's the reason for all this? It's because we're dealing with yisayimim that don't really know what went on with the father's geshaft. So the only way you can get payment is you're going to make some sort of shvur. So the Gemara will explain, but the words of Rabbi Yechim and Breika are that even if the child was born after the father already died, even then, if he wants to get payment, he has to be a nishba b'noita. I mean, it's not only true if he was alive while his father was alive, but even if it was noila d'aben, right, like an ish esach shloi hoya b'olamoi type of inyan. But even if he was noila d'aben, la'acha misa sa'av, this halach is going to be true. Rav Shem Gamliel, said, "Im yesh edim, if there are edim, sha'amar ha'av v'shas misasoi, shtar zeh ene parua, hu noitel shalei b'shvua." If the malva, z'yusayimim, can bring edim to court that will testify and say that the father said, "B'shas misasoi mamash, shtar zeh ene parua," then already the Yisayim will be able to collect without making a shvua. Another halach. The following are examples of people that are obligated to swear. So ordinarily, if you want to make somebody swear, you have to have an argument, right? You have to come with a taina. If you don't have a taina, the other person is not mechuyev to swear. You owe me money, whatever it is. There has to be some sort of taina. However, there are examples of people that are mechuyev to swear, even though there was no underlying taina. What are those examples? Number one, hashutfin. A shutif can go over to his shutif and tell him, you know something? For some reason, I'm getting funny vibes. I'm not trusting you. I'm not feeling it right now. Make me comfortable. Swear you're being erlich. This is why you saw something? No. You have a smoking gun? No. What? Something is off? No. Someone told you something? Oichnish. It doesn't matter. Shaloi betayna. The halacha is a shutif can make a shutif swear. V'arisin, same as true, a person can force his sharecropper to swear. V'apetropin, you can force an apetropist to swear. V'ho isha noisas, v'anoisenes b'techabayis. A husband can come home and tell his wife, swear that you're being galach in the kitchen and, you know, with all my possessions. V'benabayis. Or let's say you have achim that divided Yerusha, and one of the brothers was appointed to be the one that's going to be in charge. The halacha is, in all these cases, in the event that they come over and the person is like, what do you want from my life? And they say, I don't know, I want you to make me comfortable. I want you to swear, chayiv, the halacha is, this is going to be chiyah shvo. Chalku ha-shutfin, then what would be if a shutf is dissolved? V'arisin, or there was a sharecropper and a balabayas, and their agreement is no longer kayim, and yachal hashbia, at that point you can't force him to swear anymore. I mean, you can only do it while the shutfis is actually alive. But if the partnership is not alive anymore, at that point you can't force this. The Mishnah concludes and says, niskalgol shvua mimakom echad. If, however, let's say you had two partners that were once partners, and now they're not partners anymore, but they're involved in some sort of dispute, sounds like that's what's going on here, and now the shutif is taka chayiv, a real shvur to the other shutif. So once he's making him swear, then megalgam all of asaka. Then he could say, by the way, you know, you anyways owe me a shvur, so maydib amiktsas. Now I want you to swear that you were erlich all those years when you were my shutif. So all the shutfin, he can make him swear. Once the partnership is dissolved, he can't do it anymore. If, however, after the partnership was dissolved, there is some basis for him to owe him a shvur, so then al yidei gilgul shvur, he can make this happen. And finally, vahashvius mishametis as a shvur. We know shvius is mishamet loans, shvius mishametis as a shvur. If there was an outstanding chi of shvur, shvius is me shame that. Either way, this concludes another long Mishnah, right? So that's been the theme of all these prakim, that they begin with these monster Mishnayas that really need to be learned through. And now, of course, the Gemara is going to do what it does. So, taking it from the top, the Mishnah began, Kol ha-nishban shebetayra nishbain v'loy misham. Zok the Gemara, min nala. What's the makar to this? Oh, my God, the pasuk says, v'lokach ba'olav v'loy yishalim. Now, if you look at the beginning of this pasuk, it says, shvuas Hashem tia ben shneyem, im lo yishalach yodeh b'melech z'riyeh. This is one of the three shvuas that rises. This is shvuas Hashem. And then it says, v'lokach ba'olav v'loy yishalim, and we learn from here, misha olav l'shalim lo yishvuah. It's always the person that has a chiyav to pay, he's the one that has to swear. So every case of shvuah that rises, so which one is going to swear? It's going to be always the person that was supposed to pay. Meaning, you could have thought maybe it's the Teveya that swears. But from these words of Allah Kachbal of Allah Yishalim, we learn that all three examples, not just Shvuas Hashem, but all three examples of Shvuas Teiraisa, it's the Nitva that swears, and Al Yidei his Shvua, he becomes Pater from things. Ve'elun Nishban V'Noitlin V'chul. And then the Mishnah went on and gave five examples of Nishba V'Noitlin. Hasachir V'Hanigzal V'Hanechbal V'Shekeneg De'Choshet Al HaShvua V'Chen V'ni Al Pin Kasai. The Mishnah then went on to say Ketzad. It explained all five of the cases, and we mentioned the Gemara is going to delve into all of them, beginning from the first one, which the Gemara is going to delve into right here, and that is the Sacher. So what did the Mishnah say again about the Sacher? Somebody goes over to his Balabayas, and he tells him, Tainli Sacher Yishesh L'Biyotcha, I want you to pay me. You owe me money, you owe me wages. And the Balabayas responds, Nasati, I gave you already your money. The person says, no, you didn't. Loi Natalti. So the Allah is, Hu Nishba V'Noitel, that the Sacher swears, Rabbi Yehuda, that we'll see more about, but not in today's daf, argued. And Rabbi Yehuda said that the only time the Sacher swears is when the Nitva was made of a mitzvah, when the Balabayas was made of a mitzvah, we're be'etzim, there's some chi of shvu, they rice are floating around over here. Then we're mahapach the shvu instead. On the Teveya, we tell him to be Nishba V'Noitel. If, however, there was no chi of shvu, they rice a bechlal, because the Nitva, the Balabayas, was koifer ha-koil, then you're not going to have this halacha. But the bottom line is this. What's the classic case? Where a socher goes over to Balabayas, and he tells Balabayas, you owe me wages. Balabayas says, I paid you. He says, no, you didn't. He said, they're going back and forth. The halach is the socher swears, and by him swearing, he should be able to get. Now, again, what would be the halacha? Mi'ikra din, right? If we didn't have this special din of the socher. So you would say that the socher is the teveya, the balabayas is the nitva. He's being teveya, whatever the wages are. The Nitva is denying. He's been Kofer HaKoyel. As a result, there would be no Chiv at all, right? Medina the Mishnah would be no Chiv. Now, Rav Nachman Shavuos Hasses, Beseder. But before Shavuos Hasses, which was an Amiraic creation, Medina the Mishnah, L'chura, you would say he's off the hook. The Mishnah is saying, no, he's not off the hook. There's some sort of Chiv over here. As a matter of fact, not only is there a Chiv, but the one that swears is not the Nitva, who usually is the one that swears. Over here, it's the Teveh that's going to swear. Now, just one point. It's in the benefit of the Sacher to be able to be Nishma V'Naitel versus having the Nitva be a Nishma V'Lei Meshalim. The way Chazal viewed the Shvuah is whoever gets to swear is always a little Yada El Yoina, right? Because I'd rather control my own destiny. So, what? I claim you owe me money. You say no. So, Ben says swear. What if you're a chakran? So, you're going to swear and you're not going to owe me anything. I would much rather, as a teveya, be in a position where I could be a nishba v'naito, where I'm the one that has control over the shvua, rather than you now be the one that's going to swear and have the ability to swear falsely and be off the hook. So, really, when Chazal said that the socher is nishba v'naito, it's the point that I'm just trying to get to. It was like a double benefit for the Sacher. Number one, they're benefiting the Sacher. Why? Because Mikra Din, the Baal Bais HaKofer HaKoyel, he should be off the hook. He doesn't owe him anything. So benefit number one, no. We're going to want a Shvuah to determine that what's being stated is really the truth. But Chiddush number two, and really benefit number two for the Sacher, is that we're telling the Sacher, if you want, you could be the one that swears and be a Nishma V'Naitel. Wow, that's a huge benefit. So really, if you think about it, he just had an amazing day because he thought he's dead. I mean, the person was Kofer HaKoyel, he's Potter, I'm going to see nothing. No, even though you're Kofer HaKoyel, you're not going to see nothing. We're going to let you now be the one that's going to make the Shvuah, which is something that's very much going to benefit him. Now, this is all a very big Chiddush. Why is it a Chiddush? Because Kol HaNishman Shevetayu Nishma V'Lei Meshalmen. And even though this Shvuah is not a Shvuah Deiraisa, it's a Shvuah Derabanan, a B'Kol Detikun Rabanan Kein Deiraisa Tikun. So really, it's a very big Chiddush the way Chazal set it up. And really, the Avoida of the first part of the Gemara's analysis in the Mishnah is going to be, why were Chazal Mahapich the Ilamois, or Mahapich the Shvuah, when it comes to this case of the Sacher, why not follow the guidance and the lead of the Torah, which is Kol HaNishban Shebetorah Nishban V'Lo Mesham. Zok de Gemara. Maishno Socher de Takinu Le Rabbonon de Mishtab de Shokol. Why is it that Chazal was Mesakin for the Socher that he can be a Nishba V'Noitel? Amar Avida Mashmul Sofidus in the name of Shmul. Halach is G'day Lo Shanuka. You're right. You're on to something. In fact, this big halach is going down right here. So the Gemara interrupts and says, Halach is? What does halacha sound like? Sounds like it's a halacha l'moishim yisinai. What are these halachas? Eleima, you're right. Takonos g'day lo shanukam. That's not what I meant. I meant takonos, big takonos going down. The Gemara says, g'day lo is michlal de'ika k'tanos? Oh, you mean some of the takonos are really only, this is like a big one? I'd love to know. Like, which sugi did we learn in the last 5 years that's really a small one, right? This is a big one? Like, what's big and what's small? Elam Rav Nachman, Rav Shmuel Square says, okay, let's go. We'll get this right. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Takonois Kevuois Shanuka. It's not a halacha, it's a takana, and it's not gedoilois, it's kavua. So we went from halachis gedoilois to takonois kevuois. But the point is, takonois kevuois Shanuka, it's a takana. What does it mean it's kavua? It's very stark. In what way? It's kavu in the sense that it was able to barge through the regular, usual, and customary way of going about a shvua, which would be a nishba v'lo mishalim. And over here, Chazal said, this takon is going to be kavu, it's going to be so stark, it's going to be mahapich the yotzeres. And what it's going to say is that instead of the nitba, the balabayis, being a nishba v'lo mishalim, over here, the sacher is going to be a nishba v'lo mishalim. Now, what's the reason for it? Here's the punchline. Mishum kidei chayev. You know why? Because it's his parnasa. And being that it's the sacher's parnasa, you can't allow his parnasa to be now in the hands of the Baal HaBayis. So if the Baal HaBayis is going to be able to get off the hook by swearing, then what's the Sacher going to do? How's he going to feed his family? So being that there's a Kedecha, it's not just two Seichrim over here that are fighting over $1 million. This is someone's Parnassa. It's Kedei Chayev. And because it's Kedei Chayev, so it's for that reason, we're very sensitive to the Sacher, and we tell him, you're going to have the S'chus. That was the Hakdama to the Gemara. It's in the interest, it's in the benefit of the Sacher to be the one to swear. So because it's Kedei Chayev, we're giving him the S'chus, and we're telling him that if you want, you could go ahead and swear. The truth is, I just want to hit the pause button for 1 second, speak on something that the Rishonim will speak at. And that is, that notice, the Gemara's kasha was, Maichna Sacher de Tekinu, Le Rabbanu de Mishtaba v'shakel. The kasha of the Gemara was, and is, why is it the Sacher that swears? Meaning, who should swear? It's the Baal HaBayis that should swear. And the Gemara's answer is, at least for now, Mishum Kedei Chayev. Fregin the Rishonim, why did the Gemara only ask, why is it the Sacher that swears? You're asking good, but ask better. What should the Gemara's kasha have been? Why does anybody swear, right? The Baal HaBayis is a Koyfer HaKoyel is Potter. The Gemara never even asked that. We made a big deal about it in the Mishnah, and we made a big deal about it again in the Gemara. There's two chidushim over here in the Sacher being Nishba v'Neitel. Number one, that there's a Chiv Shvua. Number two, that it's the Teiveya that swears. The Gemara's catch was, why does the Teiveya swear? I hear you asking good, ask better. You should be asking, why is there even a Chiv Shvua? So the Rishonim all say, the Gemara knew the answer to that question. And you know what the answer to that question is? Mishum Kedei Chayev. So really, the Gemara knows Kedei Chayev before the Gemara starts. It's interesting. It's implied before we start the Gemara that we know already Kedei Chayev. Because if we didn't know Kedei Chayev, the Gemara would have asked a much better kasha. The Gemara would have asked that why is there a Chiyav Shua in the first place? He's a regular Kedei Chayev. You tell me Shua is Hesed? That's from Nachman. That's a creation of a few hundred years later. It's not true on the Mishnah level. So why is there even a Shvu? The Teretz is the Gemara Nu Kedei Chayev. So far the Gemara, find on the Gemara, they showing the Gemara this far from Kedei Chayev. So what's being this Chadish? Because the Gemara said, I understand why you don't want to let this guy just off the hook. Because he's dealing with someone's Parnasa. Or Baal Kaponim, let the Nitfa swear. Because Kol HaNishbon should be Torah, Nishbon v'le Mishalmin. So even this Shvu should be the same way. The answer is, Mishum Kedei Chayev. Just like Kedei Chayev was Mechadish the Shvua, which is L'Tayvaso Yishal HaSacher, so too Kedei Chayev is going to be Mechadish, that the Sacher should be the one that swears, which is also L'Tayvaso. But that's interesting. This whole Chiyuv Shvua is rooted in a Svara of Kedei Chayev, which the Gemara in the Cheshbin comes to a few lines in, but the Rishonim said the Gemara must have already known. Because if the Gemara didn't already know that, then the Gemara would have asked a better kash. Why is there a Shvua in the first place? The Teres is a Shvua, Bishchum Kedei Chayev. The only question is, why is it in Ishbam Naito? And the answer is, by the way, it's the same Kedei Chayev, which makes perfect logical sense. It's the whole Shvua is Bishchum Kedei Chayev. It's the benefit of Sacher. So now let's take it to the finish line. You're looking out for the Sacher so much, let's look out for him, Lagamri, says the Gemara. But I have a little bit of an issue with this. Bishchum Kedei Chayev, the Sacher, Konsinale, Le Baal HaBayis. At the end of the day, the Baal HaBayis is really getting a bad deal here, right? Because he's claiming, I don't owe you money. What's Mi'ikar HaDin? Mi'ikar HaDin, he's off the hook. We're going to go ahead and we're going to say, not only not off the hook, there's a Shvua. Oh, by the way, you know who swears? The other guy swears. He could be an Ishva V'Naitel. So it's true, but this grace of chesed that you're doing for the Sacher is coming at the expense of the Baal HaBayis. It's afraid to Gemara. I appreciate the sensitivity of the Kedei Chayev of the Sacher, but Konsinale Le Baal HaBayis, it seems a little cruel and unusual. So the Gemara says, true, but not true. You know what? Because Baal HaBayis, Gufei Nichale, the Mishtab HaSacher V'Shakel. The Baal HaBayis likes the fact that there are these labor laws. I mean, he likes the fact that some laws are being put into place to benefit his employees. You know why? Kehecha this Garenle Pailin, because otherwise it could be very hard for him to hire an employee, because you're going to want to hire someone. The guy says, I'm not working for you. He says, why not? I'm going to offer you the best job in the world. He says, really? I'm going to come to you at the end of the day. I'm going to say, where's the money? You're going to say, I paid it to you. You're going to be potter, because you're going to be a kofer hakoyel. So it actually benefits on some level the Baal HaBayis. So it's not such a concern. But the Gemara says, Adar Abba, I can make the opposite argument. If you want to go down this road, I think we could flip the script. Sacher Nichalei de l'shtaba Baal HaBayis. Maybe it would be in the benefit of the Sacher for the Baal HaBayis to be able to deny, and be either off the hook, or at the very least, let him be the one that swears. The Nifka, right? Kihechi the Ligre Baal HaBayis, so that the Baal HaBayis will hire him. Because if it's going to be so easy to get paid, then maybe this person will double dip by swearing falsely, right? The Baal Bais is really going to pay him. And then he's going to say, you owe me money. No, I don't. I'll be a nishba benoitel. But the point is, from the socher's perspective, it's probably good for the employers to have good rights, right? Because at the end of the day, like this, they'll be interested in hiring. But the Gemara says, not true. The socher doesn't think that way because Baal Bais al korche agar. Baal Bais has a business and he needs to hire people. So it's not true. He's going to have to hire people anyways. So the socher actually understands Baal Bais needs him more than he needs the Baal. But the Gemara says it's not true. You can make the opposite argument. Socher nami al korche misker, right? You're telling me that you have to do things to benefit the sachers, otherwise the sachers not going to want to work for the Baal Bais. So it's actually good for the Baal Bais if the sachers has the ability to be in Nishma Benoitel. Why not make the same argument? It's not true. Sachers is going to come work for you anyways. Why is he going to come work for you anyways? Because Mamarav Shach, he needs work. So Gemara says you're 100% right. You have to give a whole different reason. Forget about what we just said. Forget about Kedei Chayef. The reason is not Kedei Chayef. Reason is not Kedei Chayef. The reason the Sachar is Nishma Benoitel can't be Kedei Chayef. And again, why can't that be the reason? Because of the words of the Gemara, that because of Kedei Chayef, the Sachar Kotzin Alei L'Baal HaBayis, the Gemara thought that it wasn't such a taina, because the Gemara thought Baal HaBayis Guf is Nichale. But the Gemara says you can make the flip argument, and that is Sachar Nichale. So it must be there's a different reason. So what is the reason that the Sachar is Nishma Benoitel Ala Baal HaBayis Torid B'Payalafu? It's because the Baal HaBayis is Torah B'Payalov, and as a result, we think that the Baal HaBayis, who has this big geschäft going on, he has to pay all his employees, so he made a mistake, and he's off. And he's going to end up swearing, thinking he's swearing and telling the truth, but really he's lying. So it's not fair to put the fate of the Sachar into the hands of the Baal HaBayis, and it's for that reason. It's for that reason that we tell the Socher, you should go ahead and swear. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, blaze to blaze for. If you taka choshe that the Baal HaBayis is Torah B'Payalov, then maybe just give the Socher, assume that he's the one telling the truth. Why does he even have to swear? So the Gemara says, Kedei Lahav is Daitish Baal HaBayis. Because the Baal HaBayis doesn't think he's Torah. The Baal HaBayis thinks he is telling the truth. So it's just, the Baal HaBayis is going to think that he really, really ended up getting messed up in this din Torah. So the appropriate way to do this is through a shvua. Frank the Gemara, I have a better answer. So, V'leisavlei be'edim. Why don't we make a rule that says that every time a Baal HaBayis pays his sacher, he should always pay him with edim? What would be the advantage of doing this? Like this, you'll never have to come to this shvua. We know Chazal don't like shvuas. We frown upon shvuas, right? We've spoken about that a lot. So maybe that's a better rate. So why don't we just say that every time a Baal HaBayis pays a sacher, you should pay him with edim? Mara says, I hear. I mean, it's a good idea. It works in the textbooks, but it's not practical. Because trichale milsa, whether you can always find edim, it's going to be very hard. Faith, I have even a better idea. Why don't you say that the Baal HaBayis has to pay the sacher before he works? Don't pay him at the end of the day, pay him in the beginning of the day. And like this, you'll never come to this. So the Gemara says, Shneim Roitzim Ba'Kofa. That's not going to benefit anybody. Baal HaBayis would rather pay at the end of the day, and the Sachar would also rather get paid at the end of the day. Now the Baal HaBayis, we understand. Why would he rather pay at the end of the day? Because like this, he's holding on to the cash until the end of the day, right? First do the work, and then I'm going to pay you. Why would the Payal rather be paid at the end of the day? So Rashi says, because like this, he knows he's going to have the money. If you give him the money in the morning, he's going to end up spending it during the day. So he'd actually rather get paid at the end of the day. So says the Gemara, bottom line, what's the real reason that the Sachar is Nishma? Right? We thought it's Mishum Kedei Chayef. But the Gemara is Chayzer from that. The Gemara says it's not the reason. What is the reason? It's because the Baal HaBayis is Torah B'Payalov. And being that he's Torah B'Payalov, so we think that the Baal HaBayis is a little fachadered. He thinks he's telling the truth, so he's going to end up swearing falsely, but thinking he's telling the truth, and the Sachar is going to end up losing. So therefore, we put the fate of the Sachar in the Sachar's own hands, even though what we're doing is we're going connected the way the Torah usually goes about something like this. But the Gemara says, I have two kashas on this. And really, the two kashas are going to be from two brises that qualified when and when not we have the Shfuas HaSachar. And the Gemara is going to argue, based on these brises, it would seem that the Tam for this shvua is not the way the Gemara is presenting it. The Gemara says like this, I feel even if you have a situation where there's a dispute between the worker and the Baal HaBayis, not whether there was a payment or not a payment, but how much money he was owed. There too, the halacha should be that the sacher is nishma benoitel. Yet we know that's not the case. Why do we learn in a braisa? If the woman says, you promise that you're going to pay me two of whatever it is, $2 for my work. The person says, like, it's not true, only one. So the halacha is, if the woman wants to get a second one, he has to swear. He has to bring a raya. Why does he have to bring a raya? He should just swear, he should be a nishma benoitel. Meaning, what's the kasha? The kasha is that we should say that the Balabayas was Tarud, and because he was Tarud, so he was all messed up, and therefore the halacha should be Nishbav and Eitel. So why is the halacha Hamoitzim Echaver Yalav Araya? What we should say is that the Balabayas is Tarud, the Shem HaShachach, maybe he forgot. So the Gemara says, Ktsitza Vaday Mitker Dachirle. It's true that there's a concept of the Balabayas being Tarud, but it's only true for certain things. As it relates to how much money he told this worker he's going to pay him for the work, that he for sure remembers. And regarding that, there's no svara of tarud. So if the shaila is, did I pay you or not pay you? Then it could be I'm tarud. I thought I paid you, I really didn't pay you. But if it's how much money I agreed that you're going to work for me, so that already is something he's very sensitive to. That's vaday mitka dachli. Yehachib the Gemara asks another kasha. Afilo avas mam, knowing nami, the halacha should be that if you have this dispute between the sachar and the balabayas, even la'achar zmanoi, the halacha should be the same. So what does it mean, avar zmanoi? So Rashi says, avar zmanoi means midday rice, there's a certain time that every balabayas has to pay his pile. Rashi quotes the Gemara above Metziah, Schir Yoim Goyva Kol Alayla. So someone that works during the day, he has the whole night to get paid. Schir Laila Goyva Kol Alayim. Someone that works at night, the whole day. But after that, you're already stopping over Lavin and Essen, like Solin, right? It becomes a problem. So the halacha is like this. Avar Zman Evelay Nasan. Once the Zman of that the Torah dictates that the a balabais has to pay his pile passes, at that point, hareza einoy nishba v'noytel. He doesn't anymore, the sacher, have that leniency of being nishba v'noytel in a dispute. Why? Because chazok in balabais over b'baltol. Because it's a chazok that the balabais will never be over b'baltol. What's the kasha? V'o amrit balabais tarit v'payalavu. Meaning, bishloima, let's go through the Gemara properly. If the reason that the sacher is able to be nishba v'noytel is mishon kidechayav, like the Gemara, let's say, originally thought, so I understand that it's maybe something that's only going to be true when you don't have the chazakah that the Baal Bayis is telling the truth. But if the reason we're telling the Sacher to be Nishma Benaitos is because we think that the Baal Bayis is not a liar, but he's Tarud the pile off. He has always, he's running a business. As a result, he got Tarud. And he thinks he's telling the truth. He has every intention to tell the truth, but it just so happens he's a little famished, and as a result, he's not telling the truth. So then, what's this chazaka in balabayas over bebaltolin? The whole point is that we think he's Tarav Apayalov. We know he's not a bad guy. We never thought he was a bad guy. This was never about him being a bad guy. It's that he's Tarav Apayalov. So now that it's lachas manoi, because it's a chazaka that he wouldn't be over the iser. The chazaka that wouldn't be over this is chay v'kayim. It's very true, but he's tarav b'payalav. So the Gemara says, "I hear, but hani mili mikame delintis man chiyuva." It's true, this person is tarav b'payalav, but at the same time, there's a shear, there's a gvul to this madness. It's only up until this man. Abekimati is man chiyuva, rami anavshi umitker. Because he's sensitive to the Isser, so even though he's Tarud B'Payalav, but at the same time, he's going to be somewhat mindful of not being over the Isser. So it's true, if it's Toich this man and there's a dispute, then the Sacher will be Nishba V'Noito, right? If, however, the day passes, and the Baal Bayis is still standing firm, and he's still arguing what he's arguing, well, at that point, we assume for sure he's telling the truth, and there's not even a svar of Tarud B'Payalav. So it's very interesting, right? I just try to visualize this a little bit. If at 8 o'clock in the evening they're fighting it out, then Bezin's going to tell the Sacher be Nishba V'Noitel. If, however, he comes back 9 o'clock the next morning and they're still fighting it out, now already, no. Now it's a different halacha. Hareza ain't a Nishba V'Noitel, because Chazoke in Balabayas over Bebaltolin. And that's the answer. So it's true, the Balabayas has Tarbe Payalov, but the minute what's at stake here is the Issa Dairaisa of Baltolin, then already we're not concerned of Tarav B'Payalav, and then we assume that for sure the Baal Bayis is telling the truth. What's the obvious kasha? The obvious kasha is just wait until the next day then. So why is the Sacher ever Nishba V'Noitel? It's Taisa's kasha. Second Taisa on the Yom. Vim Toimer Yamtinu Loilam Ad L'Malchar. I just wait until the next day. I mean, we're trying to prevent this Shvur from happening. So that would be the obvious Eitzah. Azoy Freik Toisviz. Ayin Chop. But the Gemara says, let me ask you a question. If you're telling me that in this dispute, we take into consideration that people are not recklessly over Yisurim. Even though the Baal Bayis is Tarav B'Payalav, but there's still a Chazokah in Baal Bayis over B'Baal Tolam. So why don't we say from the Socher's perspective that he should also have a Chazokah? What's his Chazokah? Yeah, he's not going to be over like Sigzal. If he was already paid, he's not going to try to get paid again. So Feit Gemar V'Chiz Socher over Mishum Baal Sigzal, right? So just like after the Zman HaChiyuv, we always say advantage Balabayas. because chazaka in balabayas over bebaltolin toich achiyuv. We should say advantage socher because vichy socher over mishum bal sigzal. So the Gemara says no. Gabi balabayas it could trei chazaki. The reason once it's over this man, we say that it's advantage balabayas is because there's two things going in his benefit. Chada the in balabas over baltolin vichada the in socher matches chare. It's also not so likely that you didn't get paid yet, right? Every socher knows at the end of the day he gets paid. Right, that's why it's supposed to be midairaisa. Punk, you're waiting until the next day. It's not so mistaber. As it relates to the sucker, it's true he would have the chazaka that he wouldn't be over loisigzo, but if it's teich zmane right now, there's no chazaka yet that he for sure got paid. The only reason the Gemara is so confident with the chazaka that the balabayas won't be over baltolin is because it has another chazaka. It's not just that one chazaka, it's that plus another chazaka. As opposed to here, where all it is one chazaka, you're not going to have this far. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is, the Mishnah said there are five examples of Nishma V'Naito. The first example was the Sacher. The Sacher is Nishma V'Naito, you're never Nishma V'Naito. Why would this be different? Mar gave one reason, knocked it out, and eventually had a second reason. What was the first reason? The first reason was Mishum Kidei Chayev. Mar didn't like that because you're being Misakin Kidei Chayev at the expense of the Baal Bayis. It doesn't seem fair. So what was the Gemara's second and final reason? It's because Baal Bayis is Tar B'Payalov. And because Baal Bayis is Tar B'Payalov, we're afraid he's going to swear thinking he's telling the truth. But it's really not the truth. The Sacher is going to end up losing. So therefore, we tell the Sacher to make the Shvut. The Rishonim speak at one Geshmak Azach, right? Just to close the loop on that one Cheshbon that we spoke at a few times. And that is, we mentioned that there were really two Chidushim in the Halacha that the Sacher is Nishma V'Naito. Number one, that there's a Chiv Shvut in the first place. Number two, who's the one that swears? The Teiveh is the one that swears, as opposed to the Nitva being the one that swears. We also mentioned that our Gemara Shak Levataria was only with regards to the second Chiddush in the Mishnah. And that is, why is it the Sacher that swears and not the Baal HaBayis that swears? If you're always a Nishma V'Lei Mishalim, why here are you a Nishma V'Naito? But as it relates to the first Chiddush, why is the Baal HaBayis not off the hook because of the regular Halacha of Kefir HaKoel that the Mishnah never even addressed? And we said that the Rishonim spoke out, Betchilas HaSugya, that what is the reason for that? It's because of the Svar of Kidei Chayev. As if to say the Gemara knew Kidei Chayev before the Gemara even started. So what was the Chiddush of Kidei Chayev in the Gemara? That Kidei Chayev is not only a reason to say that the Baal Bayis shouldn't just be off the hook, it's also a reason that once we're Misakin HaShvua, we're going to make a leniency, a kula for the Sacher, we're going to allow him to be the one that swears. Say the Rishonim, even though the Maskana, the Gemara came out that the reason the Sacher is Nishma V'Naito is not Mishum Kidei Chayev. Gemara knocked that out. The Gemara said it's because of the fact that the Baal Bayis is Tarei B'Poyelov. That's only with regards to the second Chiddush of the Mishnah. And that is, why is the Sacher the one that swears as opposed to the Baal Bayis swearing? But Vos is Negeya the Eshta Chiddush. And that is, why don't we say this guy should be off the hook? That's not because the Baal Bayis is Tarei B'Poyelov. That was Mishum Kidei Chayev. Because of Kidei Chayev, Chazal instituted right away, and they said that we can't just let this guy off the hook as a kofer akol. That you could do with some monoli biyotcha. But when you're dealing with a poyel, we have to make sure the labor laws protect the employees. I mean, this is his parnasa, right? It's the only way to do it. So we're going to have to make sure that he's going to be somewhat protected. And therefore, mishum kidei chayev, there's going to have to be a shvur. The shaila is, who should swear? That already, lemaskona, is because of the fact that the Baal Bayis is Tarei B'Payalov, and that's why, even though Mishum Kidei Chayev, it would have been enough to just let the Baal Bayis be Nishma V'Lei Mishalim, right? That's enough for Kidei Chayev. It's definitely a benefit for the employee. But at the same time, because of that Svara, we said that the Sacher is going to be the one that swears, and it's not going to be the Baal Bayis that is going to be the one that swears. Incidentally, other Rishonim say that, why would you say that? The Maskanas HaGemara, there's a Svara of the Payal being Tarei B'Payalov. So if the Baal Bayis is Tarei B'Payalov, so I don't know if that's a reason to say that the Sacher should be Nishma V'Naito, why can't that also be a reason to create the entire Shvu? Again, this is just a little bit about what's going on in the Rishonim. The Rishonim are very dense and very heavy in these Gemaras. Can move in Ayin Sham. We'll just make a Haschala now on this next Gemara, which will segue into tomorrow's daf. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Loishanu. The whole sugya over here of a Sacher being Nishma V'Naito was only said, Elisha Sacher be'edim. If there were Edim that saw this person doesn't sign up to work for this balabais. Let's say he took this job, being that the balabais, if he wants, he could deny. He could say, you don't even work for me. I don't even know what you're talking about. If there's no Adam that saw him sign up to work for him, so how do you even know that he works for him? So he has a migu to say that I already paid you. So the whole dispute in our Mishnah, the case with the sachar the tzvei chedushim, that's only gay when that's negay if there are edim that know there was at least some employment contract there. If, however, there was no edim lechatchila, so then the Baal Bais has a migu. He could say, I never saw you. I don't even know who you are. So migu that he could have said, I never hired you. He's believed to say that I already paid you. So who said this? Rav Nachman said this in the name of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak heard this. Rav Yitzchak told him, Yeyasher, I love what you're saying. The Chedom Rav Yochanan, and Yishnor Rav Yochanan said the same thing. Now, if these next few lines of Gemara sound familiar, it's because we just had them a few daffin ago. Says the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak said, the Chedom Rav Yochanan, Michal de Polygaler Reish Lakish. I mean, if he heard it from Rav Yochanan, he probably would have heard Reish Lakish's opinion. So if he said only Rav Yochanan said it, does that mean Reish Lakish argues? So the Gemara says, no, it's not Muchach. So why didn't he also say, Vechenom Reish Lakish? The answer is because he didn't know our Reish Lakish held. Why did he know our Reish Lakish held? Two versions of the story. Some say, Mishta v'shasilei. What happens? He was in the middle of drinking Reish Lakish. Because he was in the middle of drinking, Rabbi Yechanan said it, so he didn't get a chance to opine. In the meantime, Rabbi Yitzchak walked out, so he never heard from Reish Lakish. And some say, Misha v'shasilei v'shasilei. The Reish Lakish used to wait for Rabbi Yechanan to finish talking before he got involved. And what happened was, Rabbi Yitzchak walked out in the middle before, again, Reish Lakish had a chance to talk. So the reason he say I'm Reish Lakish also is because he didn't know. So don't be medayik one way or the other. So the Gemara says, "Itmar Nami, you should know." I'm Rav Menashe Bar Zvid. I'm Rav. Rav also said this. The only time we have this halach in our Mishnah is if there were edim. That's what the schirus. I was sachri shalei be edim. But if there were no edim, he takes yachal loy maloy loy sachartich meyaylam yachal loy maloy sachartich benasati lachas charcha. Being that he has a migu that he could have said, "I never hired you," he'd be nemet to say that yes, I hired you, but I paid your raise. At the end of the day, who said this? Rav Nachman said it in the name of Shmuel. Rav Yitzchak said, I heard it from Rav Yochanan. We have a suffix what Reish Lakish held. And Rav Menashe Bar Zvid said in the name of Rav. In other words, it's Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, and suffix Reish Lakish. But it's a Rav and Shmuel, the Amri Travayu. It's also the great Rav Yochanan. It might have also been Reish Lakish. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to see that the Meiram started questioning this halacha. And that will segue into another real Shfuas Digger daf. But as it relates to Reish, just one ha'ara. And really, the ha'ara is not so much related to today's daf, but it's, again, all the shvuos that we've been learning, specifically, shvuos eidecha. So, just to begin, this is a foundational raid bite. I think it's kedai to revisit a gemara that we learned together a few days ago on daf mem amad aleph. So, the Mishnah, right in the beginning of Perek Shvuos HaDayanim said, Hataina shtei kesef v'ha'hoida b'shove pruta. Mishnah was talking specifically about Shvuos Moed B'Mikzas and said that the only time there's a Chiyuv Shvuos Deiraisa Moed B'Mikzas is if the Taino is Shtei Kesef and the Hoida is Shavu Pruta. Now, what Hoida is Shavu Pruta means is self-explanatory. The Nitva, who's Moed B'Mikzas, the Shir Hoida has to be a Shavu Pruta. What does it mean that Taino is Shtei Kesef? So that's a big machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Does it mean that Tfiya has to be Shtei Kesef? Or does it mean the Kfiras Taino has to be Shtei Kesef? But regardless, Hataino is Shtei Kesef. So the Gemara in the middle of Daf Mem Amir Aleph said, Amir Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amir Shmuel. Or some have the gear, so Amir Rav Nachman Amir Shmuel. The only time it's true that there's halacha, that the taina has to be shtei kesef, there's a shear of how much the taina has to be. That's only the taina's milva v'hoidah's life. That's when the malva's taina, you owe me X amount of money, and the loiva's moida, meaning it's a shvuas moida b'mikzas, aval taina's malva. But what would be if the malva tainas and the loiva wasn't moida? There's no moida b'mikzas, but rather the loiva is going to be chayav a shvua because the malva has an edechot supporting it. Meaning it's a case of shvua edechot. Then the halach is afilu loitanoi ela b'prutacha. Then there's no halach of a taina shtei kesef. Even if the whole taina was a shav pruta, that would be enough. So meaning this that there's a din of a taina shtei kesef, that's true by shvuas moed b'mikzas, but it's not true by shvuas edechot. My time, what's the reason? So Rav Nachman quoting Shmuel said because the pasuk says lo yakum edechot be'ish l'chol oven u'l'chol chatas. A pasuk in the Torah. And Chazal darshan l'chol oven u'l'chol chatas who the inay kam avol kamu l'shvua. That an eidecha doesn't have the ability to implicate oven and chatas. However, he could be mechay shvua. The time that we learned to the brayso kamokim shushnayim mechay v'noisay mamoy eidecha mechay v'shvua. Every time that two eidim amechay v'mamin eidecha is mechay shvua. Now two eidim amechay v'mamin as long as it's a pruta. So two eidecha would be mechay shvua even if all it is a pruta. So as much as it's true, it's a mishnah, it's the opening halacha in Perek Shvus HaDayanim that Hatayna Shtei Kesef, that's only true when it comes to Shvuas Maidim HaMikzas. But when it comes to Shvuas Eidechad, then the halacha is that even for a Shav Pruto, and the reason is because Kol Mokim Sheshnayim Mechayv Noisim Mamin Eid Echad Mechayv Shvuah, and being that two Eidim are Mechayv Mamin, even if it's a Shav Pruto, so too an Eid Echad would be Mechayv Mamin only if it's a Shav Pruto. Rabbi Zalman in Evena Ozel, right in the beginning of Hilchas Toim V'Nitan. It's on the Rambam in Perik Aleph, Halacha Aleph, in Hilchas Toim V'Nitan. He says that if you look carefully at this Gemara, it sounds like there are two Mekoiros, there are two sources, how we know, that an Eid Echad is Mechaya Shvua. The Gemara said, it says, Yakum Eid Echad Be'ish L'chol Oven U'L'chol Chatas. L'chol Oven U'L'chol Chatas Hu De'inay Kam, Avul Kamu L'Shvua. Right? It's a drush. It's a drasha that an eidechad is mechayev shvuah. That's number one. Number two, v'tanya, it's a brayse. Kol mokem sheshnayim mechayev noisay mamin, eidechad mechayev shvuah. Anytime two eidim are mechayev mamin, an eidechad is mechayev shvuah. It sounds a little bit like these are two inyanim. You have a drasha. Lo yakum eidecha be'ish l'chalavin u'l'chal chatas. Again, l'chalavin u'l'chal chatas hu de'ina kam av kamud l'shvua. That's one. Two is kol mokem sheshnai mechay v'noisei momen. Eidecha mechay v'shvua. Now says Rabbi Zalman, you're going to tell me, it's not two drashas, it's one halacha. There's a drasha and a braisa that's being mefarish, the drasha, right? The drasha is lo yakum eidecha v'ish l'chalavin u'l'chal chatas. What do we learn from here? That an eidecha can't be mechayev oven v'chatas, but it could be mechayev shvua. And then the braisa is being marchev it a little bit. The braisa is saying, kol mokim sheshnai mechayev enoisei mamin, eidecha mechayev shvua. But Rabbi Zalman said that if you take a look at the Rambam, right in the beginning of Hilchas Toim V'Nitan, from the Rambam, it's not mashma that way. The Rambam says like this, I'm picking it up in the middle of the halacha. V'chein, im kofar ba'koil. If somebody would be a kofar ha'koil, v'amar, and he would say, lo yihayu dvarim me'yoylam. And he would say, lo yihayu dvarim me'yoylam. Regarding a tvia. V'ed echad me'yit shehayu. But there's an eid echad that says, not lo yihayu dvarim me'yoylam, but shehayu, meaning hayu dvarim me'yoylam. Harei zeh nishbim min ha'toyre. The nitva has to swear a shvur day raiso. Says the Rambam, mi pi ha'shmu alamdu, shekom mokim sheshnayim mechay v'noisay mamin, echad mechay v'shvur. There's a mipia shmur that any time two eidim amechayiv mamin and echad is mechayiv shvur. V'chein lamdu, says the Rambam, Chazal also learned mipia shmur shneid echad l'chol ovinu l'chol chatasein oikam avokam hu l'shvur. So the Rambam brings both of these ideas. Lo yokum eid echad be'ish l'chol ovinu l'chol chatas avokam hu l'shvur and komokam sheshnayim mechayiv enoisim mamin eid echad mechayiv oisim shvur. But says Rabbi Zalman, you have to be medayik the Rambam. The Rambam first brought mipia shmur lamdu shekomokam sheshnayim mechayiv and afterwards he brought the drasha of layakum eid echad be'ish l'chalav and l'chal chatas avol kamu l'shvur. If the Rambam held that the braisa of kol makam sheshnai mechay v'noisei mamin eid echad mechay v'shvur is just the pirish of the drasha, then how did he bring the pirish of the drasha before he brought the drasha? The Gemara first brings the drasha and then says v'tanya. So from the Gemara, you could say that the V'tanya is just being mefarish the drasha. It's just an expansive version of this drasha. But the Rambam brought it in the reverse order. The Rambam first said, and then afterwards the Rambam said, which sounds like these are two independent mipia shvuas, and for character mipia shmua of komakim sheshnayim mechayvin oisim mamin echad mechayvin oisim shvua really has nothing to do with the drasha. There's a mipiyah shmur of kolmokim sheshnayim mechayv and oisim mamim echa mechayv oisim shvur. And there's also a drush of leyakim and echa b'ish l'chalavin or l'chol katas. Now, what is the mipiyah shmur of this brayso if it's not the pirish of the drusha? Says Rabbi Zalman, l'chayre, it's a halacha l'moyit shemisinai, it's a hilchasa. Mipiyah shmur, the Rambam sometimes refers to that as being a hilchasa. And l'chayre does state on the Rambam that there's a halacha l'moyit shemisinai that an eidachar is mechayv shvur based on the hilchasa, the mipiyah shmur of kolmokim sheshnayim mechayv and oisim mamim eidachar mechayv and oisim shvur. Additionally, there's a drushes chazal of layakum eidachar b'ish l'chalavin l'chalchatas. L'chalavin l'chalchatas u'dein akam avakam l'shvur. And if that's the case, Zokta v'sazalman, we have to figure out, why do we need two drushes to explain the same thing? Why do I need a mipiyah shmur of kolmokim sheshnayim mechayv and oisim mamim eidachar mechayv and oisim shvur? And why do we also need a drush of layakum eidachar b'ish l'chalavin l'chalchatas? L'chalavin l'chalchatas u'dein akam avakam l'shvur. Now, the truth is like this. Rabbi Zalman doesn't quote this, but really, the Noda B'Yehuda, in a classic drasha, and this is in Evin Ezer, it's in Madura Tinyana, it's Simen Ayin Vav, addresses half of this conundrum. And that is, Noda B'Yehuda mutches a little bit, that why would Chazal moistif this line of Komokim Sheshnayim Mechayv Noisei Mamin Eid Echad Mechayv Oisei Shvur? It says, Vayokim Eid Echad B'Ish L'Cholovin U'L'Chol Chatas. And we learned in the price. What's that second part? Meaning, for sure there's these two things. Rabbi Zalman was medayik in the Rambam that the second one even comes before the first. They're both independent of each other. But for sure, Chazal weren't just tefriden with the drasha. They brought the drasha that in Eid Echad has come l'shvur, but then they were moisif on that. And the Rebbe Yehuda in the tshuva is mayrich a little bit. What was the purpose of that hoisafa? And the Rebbe Yehuda says three things that all nifla. I think it's kedai to mention all three of them very quickly. The first thing the Rebbe Yehuda says is in the cheshbon of the Gemara, it's pasha why the Gemara brought it. Because what was the whole point of the Gemara? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. This that is Allah of Atayim Shtei Kesef, that's only true by Moedah B'Miktas. But when it comes to Shvuah Seidecha, not. Why? So says the Noda B'Yehuda, you're going to tell me because it says a drash le'yakim edecha be'ish, avol kamu l'shvuah. Maybe the kamu l'shvuah of an edechad is like Shvuah Seidecha B'Miktas. And just like Shvuah Seidecha B'Miktas requires Atayim Shtei Kesef, maybe for Shvuah Seidecha you would also need Atayim Shtei Kesef. The punchline says the Noda B'Yehuda in Cheshbon of the Gemara is the Vetanya, it's the Braisa. Komokim sheshnayim mechayvei noisei mamin, eidecha mechayvei shvuah. Now, shnayim mechayvei mamin, as long as it's a Shavu Pruta, even if you don't have a Tainish Dei Kesef. That's why shvuah seidecha would be on a Shavu Pruta, even if you don't have a Tainish Dei Kesef. So says the Noda B'Yehuda in the Cheshbon of the Gemara, Gufa, you understand why we need this Braisa. And for Kurt, that's the answer. The first simplest answer, and it jumps off the page in the Cheshbon of the Gemara, is because Chazal wanted to teach us that Shvuah Seidechad is true even if you don't have a Tainish Dei Kesef. Where do you see that? You see that in the Braisa. You don't see that in the Drasha. If all I had was the Drasha of Layakim Eidechad Be'ish, I would come with Shvuah. So I would think that maybe Shvuah Seidechad is Meshubit to the Halachas of Shvuah Seidechad Be'Mikzas. Right? One of the things we saw is we learn Shvuah Eidechad from Shvuah Seidechad, from Shvuah Seidechad Be'Mikzas, right? They all learn and teach us things that apply to some of the other shvuos. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. But there's precedent for this. So you could have thought that if there's a dimma shvuos might be mixas, they need a tainish de kesef, maybe shvuos eidachot would be the same way. But the point is, the b'rais is what teaches us that the halach is komokim sheshnayim mechayv and oisim mamin afilu shav pruta eidachot mechayv shvuos. This is not something that you would have known without the b'rais. So it says, and I believe that's pashut, that would be the first reason why you need the b'rais. He says another reason. He says, we know the halach is Nimtza echad mehem karavei pasal edusim b'teil. If you have two eitim that walk into Beis Din, and one of them is found to be a karavei pasal, so it knocks out the eitus, right? That's easy. Now you only have one eit. If you have three eitim that walk into Beis Din, and one of them is found to be a karavei pasal, knocks out the eitus. You have 100 eitim that walk into Beis Din, and one of them is found to be a karavei pasal, what's the halacha? Edusim b'teil. The Rishonim discuss, what would be if you have two Eidim that walk into Beis Din and one of them is found to be a Karav Apostle, Edusim B'Teilah, right? The one Eid Echad that's still standing, could he be Mechayev Shvuah or could he not be Mechayev Shvuah? This is a noise in the Rishonim in the end of the first part of Masechtas Markus. They discuss this very much. Says the Noid of Yehuda, what would be the Svara that the Eid Echad should not be able to be Mechayah Shvuah? Why not? Why not? Eid Echad is always Mechayah Shvuah. So right now you have an Eid Echad standing. So if there's an Eid Echad that's standing, why should the Eid Echad not be able to be Mechayah Shvuah? You should be able to be Mechayah Shvuah. Says the Noid of Yehuda, you know what I think the Pshat is? I think the Pshat is, you ready? Because Kol Mokoyim She Shnayim Mechayv Enoysoy Mamin Eid Echad Mechayv Shvuah. Says the Noid of Yehuda, the Pashtus is, that's a drosha, that's marba. It's marba to koyach le Eid Echad. That even though Eid Echad, when it comes to Mamin, is a nothing, but he's not a nothing. All of a sudden, he's a fine balabas. He's a something. He has the ability to be Mechayah Shvuah. Abba says, I think that this braisa, just like it's marba Eid Echad, it's also memayir Eid Echad. How is it memayir Eid Echad? Because you know what the halacha of an Eid Echad is? Whenever two would be Mechayev Mamin and one could be Mechayev Shvuah. So says the Rebbe, what would be if three Eidim walked into Beis Din and one of them was found to be Apostle? You'd be left with two. Those two, could they be Mechayev Mamin? No. Why not? Two could always be Mechayev Mamin. The reason is because they were once part of three. And the third guy got clipped. So because the third guy got knocked out, so now these two can't be Mechayev Mamin. If that's true, the same is going to be Emes for an Eid Echad, who was once part of two. Being that he's now no longer part of two, as an Eid Echad, he won't be able to be Mechayev Shvuah. Just like the two that were part of three can't be Mechayev Mamin because they were once part of three and one of them was found to be Karev Apostle, so too the one that was once part of two won't be able to be Mechayev Shvuah because he was once part of a two where it was Nimtza Echamim Karev Apostle. In the words, in Lashoyne Azov, Shala Noida Behuda, this Braisa of Kol Mokim, Sheshnai Mechayev Noisa Mamin, Erecha Mechayev Shvuah, Yesh Bozet Tzad HaBoyne, V'gam Tzad HaSoyser. Those were his words. Tzad haboyne, there's a riboy that an Eid Echad can be Mechayev Shvuah. Obisado eichet that tzad asoyser. What's the tzad asoyser? The tzad asoyser is that vashteita eichet is that where two can't be Mechayev Mamin, the parallel case, and Echad won't be Mechayev Shvuah. He says, this is the makar to those Rishonim. This is classic Noida B'Yudah. This is the makar that the Rishonim who hold that an Eid Echad can't be Mechayev Shvuah when he was once part of the, why not? Why can't he be Mechayev Shvuah? It's because the whole Koyach in Eid Echad is Dumyut to Shnei Eidim. And Shnei Eidim Bechay Gavna, where they were once part of three and one was found to be Karev Apostle, can't be Mechayev Mamin. So to an Eid Echad that was once part of two, won't right now be able to be Mechayev Shvuah. He said, that's the second reason why I think there has to be a Braisa on top of the drasha to bring out this idea that Echad can't be Mechayev Shvuah if he was once part of two, where it was Nimtza Echamim Karev Apostle. But then the Noid of Yehuda says a third reason, and this is Mamish Nifla. And if you think about this, this gosh actually bothered me very much. And Noid of Yehuda asks it, and he brings this out very, very stark. And that is, an Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvuah, right? When is an Eid Echad Mechayev Shvuah? Is one time an Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvuah. Mom, that's the only time an Eid Echad can be Mechayev Shvuah, right? What would be if an Eid Echad goes over to a woman and says, you're married? She says, what are you talking about? I never got married. She says, no, I was at your chasana. I saw two Eidim. There was a whole wedding. There was a band. There was a smorgasbord. There was everything there. You got married. She says, I never got married. What's the halacha? The halacha is she's not married, right? She has an ability to be machshenech. I can't come and tell you you're married, right? It's pashut. The halacha is, says the Noid Yehuda, she's going to be Naman. And if you're not sure, he says, I'm Kedushin Daf Samachay. It's enough in the Gemara. That's the way it is. Now, just to be clear, that's Pasha. Kedushin needs two Eidim, right? Needs Eidus L'Kiyume. It's not a Kedushin unless you have two Eidim. Just like Kedushin requires a Chosin, and requires a Kala, and requires a ring, doesn't require Masad the Kedushin. It requires, however, two Eidim, right? That's something that's necessary. Without two Eidim, the Kedushin is not a Kedushin. But we're not discussing where an Eid Echad says, I witnessed the Kedushin as an Eid Echad. If an Eid Echad would say, I was at your chasana, there were 500 people there, and you're married, and he tells it to Beis Din, and she says it's not true, it's possible she's going to be considered a plurian. Freit din Noid B'Yudah, I don't understand it. She should be Chayev Shvuah Deiraisa. She should have to swear that she's not married. It's going on over here? Why? It says in the Torah, "Lo yakum edachot be'ish l'chalavinu l'chalchatos l'chalavinu l'chalchatos u'deinu kamavu kamu l'shvua." I don't know. It sounds like she always, any time an edachot implicates you should have to swear. If an edachot walks into Bez and it says, "I know this person ate chazer," in the law there were two edim and there was asra and everything, and right now he deserves malchus. I don't deserve malchus. Swear shvua deiraisa. An edachot should be able to be mechayev a shvua deiraisa for dina nefasha. Okay, you'd have to work out all the nuances of all the cases. But the bottom line is what's going on over here? How come the only time I ever in my whole life heard of shvua deiraisa was regarding mammon? Where does it say the word mammon? It says, l'yakum edachot b'ish l'chalavinu l'chalkatas, as opposed to shvua. Okay, so he can always be mechayev shvua. Who made Shvua Seidechot all about mom? It's the most simple kasha in the world. I hold Chazal. We're bothered by this. And that's why they said Vitanya. They threw in the Braisa. And the Braisa was, that's the pirush of the drasha. Now why? I hear arvach arvet sarach a little bit, right? Because hagufa kasha. How did the brisa know that? But does state on that brisa? The kasha is, what do I need a brisa for? It says layokim inachav bishul chalam the cholchatos kamokim sheshnayim mechayv noisamav. What do I need it for? Says the Noida Yehuda. Three reasons. Number one, it's negay the sugya and shvuas daf mem amar alpha gemara that we just learned a few days ago, and that is atainish de kesef is true by shvuas moed b'mix. It's not true by shvuas edechad. Why not? L'chayra, we should learn Shavuos Eidechav and Shavuos Baidim and Mikzah. So Teretz says, because Komokin Sheshnayim Mechayvin Oisei Mamin, and Shnayim Mechayvin Mamin, Afilu B'Shavu Pruta, so to Eidechav is going to be Mechayv Shavuos, as long as it's a Shavu Pruta. Number two says, you want to know why you can't just have L'yokim Eidechav Bishu Chalom L'chokhata, so you need Komokin Sheshnayim Mechayvin Oisei Mamin, Mechayvin Oisei Shavuos, because it's also in Egeya, the flip side, where Eidechav is not going to be Neman. Not just the tzad aboyna, the tzad asoyser. It's negeya. What would be if you had two edim? One was found to be karva pasul. Could the one aid that's standing, could he be mechaya shvua? Big shaylin the rishonim. Yesh loyman, the mekar to those rishonim who hold no, is based on komokim sheshnai mechaya v'noisim momen. And if the two were remaining from a three, they couldn't be mechaya momen. That's the halach of nimtza echvim karva pasul edusim betelo. So too, if one is remaining of two, he won't be able to be mechaya shvua. And the third reason, says the Neid Bido, is why is it that this halach of shvua zedechad is only in a gay moment? Does state on that braisa. It's komok shnayim mechayim noisim momen. And that's when it comes to kedushin, or if it comes to any other ear in halach, you're not going to find this concept of shvuas eidechot. Now the context of this shvuas eidechot is epic. Can't go through it now, but it's a classic story where somebody, an eidechot claims somebody was married, and Rabbi Yehuda went to work, and when Rabbi Yehuda rolls his sleeves up, it's game over, and it's just not shaykh what was going on in that shuvah. But this only explains half of the equation, and that is that if there's a drush of layakum eidechot bishul chalam v'cholchatos, what's his brice of being moisif? Komokim sheshnayim mechayvin. I hear it's a fancy brisa, but what do I need it for? Noid Yehuda already told us there's three reasons. But Rabbi Sazama was medayik in the Rambam that really the brisa in and of itself was an independent mipi hashmua of the drasha. And in the words of Rabbi Sazama, it's halacha l'moshe misinai. He learned it up in the Rambam because the Rambam brought the brisa first and the drasha second. And he brings each one as its own mipi hashmua. Rabbi Sazalman, who wrote one of the classic contemporary commentaries on the Rambam, the Evan Ozel, multiple volumes, felt this was a stark dig in the Rambam. That the Rambam must have held Komok Shnayim Mechayim Noisim Mamin was like an independent halacha l'moshe misinai. And if that's the case, if I already know Komokim Shnayim Mechayim Noisim Mamin, then what do I need a drasha for? If it's halacha l'moshe misinai, then why do I need a drasha? Rabbi Sazalman brings a mahalach that he heard from his enakel. I heard recently from a guy in Rabbi Yaakov Eliezer Schwartzman Shlita that the enakel that Rabbi Sazalman's quoting in this shtickle was his enakel Rabbi Shneir Kotler, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Beis Medrash Gavaya. What exactly his mahalach was is something that Be'ezer Hashem will talk about in tomorrow's raid.